When society is faced with a major disruption, major natural disaster, pandemic, lockdowns, or the outbreak of war, the first items to become scarce often reflect essential needs and survival priorities. Today, we're going to discuss 29 items that may become scarce, and we may want to stock some of these before an event occurs. Hit it, Kristen.
Hi, welcome to Practical Prepping. Today is Monday, April 29th, 2024, and this is episode 464. This is the Prepping Podcast with no bunkers and no zombies and no alien invasions, just practical prepping, where we believe that stuff happens. So we need to stay prepared, and we're here to help you get prepared. Hi, guys. I'm Krista.
And I'm Mark. And if you'd like the expanded notes for this episode, go to practicalprepping.info/464. And if you aren't receiving the Practical Prepping newsletter, go to the website practicalprepping.info and click on free PDF, and you'll receive that free Getting Started in Prepping PDF, and you'll be added to the newsletter. And before we start today, let's update our listeners on my condition and what I've gone through the last month. The saga of shingles.
Yeah.
We do appreciate those, sincerely appreciate those that have contacted us to check on me and to encourage me. And we are so, so grateful for that. The end of March, I wound up with shingles. We were actually out of town. And this was one of the points where we used our contingency medical pack. We had some medication in there.
Right.
Got started with that. Krista needed some that weekend as well. And I got back to the doctor, and I was a little bit surprised with my weight at that point. And I was in excruciating pain.
It was.
I really was. And the best way I can describe shingles is poison ivy married kidney stone pain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff going on right there. You said it's the worst pain you've ever felt.
It's the worst pain I've ever had, and I have had a kidney stone. No, I've not given birth to a baby, but I understand that shingles is even worse than that. Well, one of the things is I have lost 25 pounds since April the 8th.
Well, yeah, for a while, you just didn't feel like eating too much.
I didn't feel like eating, and a new medication that was added, because during this, I've had some pretty good blood sugar issues.
Yeah. Pain will actually drive your blood sugar up.
That I understand, but at the same time, my blood pressure dropped, which is extremely unusual for me.
Yeah, very strange.
Well, you know, I told you back around January, I set a goal of weighing 195 pounds or less on April the 15th. Well, I did. I reached that goal.
You did, yeah.
I wasn't intending to do it like this.
Yeah, that's not the best way.
So anyway, I'm doing pretty fair. I still have a lot of weakness, but the pain is almost gone. It's a 1 or a 2 out of 10 most of the time.
Yeah.
And it can go to 0. That's not unusual for it to not be noticeable at any point for me. We just wanted to give you that update. Thank you for those that contacted us and encouraged us as well. All right, let's get on with our episode. And this list, and it's not an exclusive list, but it includes basic supplies, medical items, tools, and even some communication devices. The order may vary depending on the nature of the event, the geographic location, or available resources.
Okay.
So let's get into our list.
Okay, first on the list is going to be water, and particularly bottled water, which seems to be...
And we see that every natural disaster.
A tornado, a hurricane, even flooding events, when people know that they're going to have a utility shutdown, or they may be traveling somewhere, maybe to their bug out location or somewhere they're going to want to take their hydration with them. So water, that's going to be a very, very high premium item to go scarce. And, you know, following that on the list are going to be the water filters and the purification tablets to purify contaminated water. Because once your utilities are shut off and once your water is no longer available to purchase, what's left? The pool and the creek and the river and the lake and the ocean. Well, you can't just jump in and drink that. You've got to be able to filter it, purify it. So along with the supply of water is the supply of ways to purify water. And you all know how I feel about the whole water thing. So that's top of the list in my world. And it might need to be the top of the list in your world, too, because you can actually get along without food for a bit, but you cannot go dehydrated. You will die.
That's for sure. And if you folks will email her and encourage her, we might get her to write a song about water.
Oh, please. You came up with that pretty quick. Hey, that was in the can. You had that in the back pocket there. You drew that too quick.
No, that honestly came out.
So now I'm going to have to write a song about water.
Well, only if they encourage you. All right, next thing on the list is food. A lot of times, there's a couple of things that happen here. In a natural disaster, sometimes the stores are not open for a while.
Yeah, or they get a run on them.
Mm-hmm. And it can go either way. And just be prepared. And for that reason, we need those canned and non-perishable foods. At least enough to, I would say, a month minimum, minimum of a month. Now, if we're going to store those, we're going to need manual can openers.
It's interesting how many folks forget that particular tool. Mm-hmm. Or they just think, well, I'm going to buy all pop tops. Well, not everything comes with a pop top.
That's true. And as I understand it, the pop tops do not last as long as the solid tops.
I hadn't thought about the longevity factor.
Yes.
That's a very good point.
Now, it's fine if you're going to rotate those things out within a year. Mm-hmm. Not a problem there. Now, the manual can openers, and I've seen this where people had the food, but they didn't have a can opener because their electric can opener does not work
right,
when the power's off.
Right.
And a lot of people say, well, get these P-38. The P-38's the little folding military type.
Have you ever used one?
I have. And it will open a can.
Yeah, it'll take you about 4 hours.
Well, it takes some hand strength.
If you have little arthritic hands or something, you're going to have a problem with the P-38.
I much prefer, and I'm not sure what that, I think it's a...
Swing away.
No, the one that we have that we use daily here, the manual can opener.
It's not a swing away, but it's kind of like, I mean, it's got the big lever on it.
It does. You know, and
easy to open.
I'm trying to say Kitchen Maid or something like
KitchenAid.
KitchenAid.
Yeah.
But get a good manual can opener. Now, if you're wanting some extras, if you're wanting something to be able to barter with or give away to somebody that doesn't have one, get the cheap ones.
Go
That's
to dollar
fine.
Store.
That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
Get several of those. But those do wear out, they do break, and they do become a pain. But get yourself a quality manual can opener.
And when you're thinking about that and along the lines of tools and equipment, cooking equipment, things like the portable gas stoves or small grills, something for which you can set up quick in a hurry outside for some sort of cooking purpose. Those types of things go fast to the extent that you may have to learn how to build your own rocket stove, or you'll need to learn how to upfit your fire pit with a new grate, for example, and use your cast iron on that. But cooking equipment can be of a very high premium. So if you don't already have a camp stove and some small bottles to go with it, think about adding that, because it's just one of those things you're going to want to train. You're going to want to use it from time to time just to know how it feels to put that together and cook on it. They're very efficient. I'll tell you, it makes some good coffee in the coffee pot.
I've gone into areas after a hurricane in particular, and you could not find a grill to purchase. People came in they bought anything and everything they could.
Sure.
They bought the charcoal. You know, the little, it's probably a foot wide, and it's a single-use grill that people will buy to take on a picnic or something like that. I've even seen those sold out.
Yeah.
So you need to have some type of alternate cooking method.
Right.
And we have five methods of cooking. If the stove's not working, we have a number of options down to cooking on an open fire.
Sure.
I mean, that's our last option, but we can do that if we need to. Now, keep in mind that you're going to need fuel, especially fuel for those portable stoves or camping stoves or gas grills. But don't forget gasoline, diesel, propane, canned fuel, Sterno, lamp oil, charcoal, firewood.
Right.
We don't use a charcoal grill generally. We don't own one.
Right.
But we keep a couple of bags of charcoal just in case.
Exactly.
Because we can make a grill out of a few concrete blocks, mm-hmm. put a grill over it, put the charcoal down in it, and yeah, you've got to bend over, but we can cook. So we have that. We have some firewood. Even though we have a fireplace that's not operable at this time, it probably would be, but we need to get it inspected before we build a fire in there. Think about that fuel, because fuel disappears very, very quickly. This is one reason that we say don't get below a half a tank.
In the car.
In the car.
Yeah.
Don't get below a half a tank. Plus, if you have the means, the place to do it safely, keep 5 gallons, 10 gallons, whatever you're comfortable with. We have a little bit more than that, and I rotate it through the lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep that rotated. But fuel disappears quickly.
Oh, yes. You know, ask anybody that's trying to make an exit, an evacuation outside of a hurricane coming area, that the gas stations will tell people literally a week in advance, we are going to run out tomorrow. So when people wait till the very last minute, they're going to come up short. And then you're going to have to be, you know, using those hush puppies on your feet. That's going to be your fuel.
Yeah. And if you have that 5 gallons and you're having to evacuate, put that 5 gallon jug in the trunk. I know it's not the safest thing to do. Now, if you're in a pickup, put it in the back, et cetera. But carry that extra fuel with you, because if you're trying to evacuate, you may get to a point where you cannot find fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And that 5 gallons may get you far enough up the road to be able to find fuel.
Would it be safe to put it in some sort of like a tote, like a heavy duty tote, and cover it up?
You could do that. Now, we used to travel with a 2 gallon gas can, and it was in one of the red gas cans with a good seal on it. And then I put that inside of a heavy trash bag, and I tied it up at the top very tight so that any fumes that did escape the red can were contained within the trash bag.
Okay.
So we were in the Jeep. There were times that we were traveling and you didn't even know it was there because you did not smell it at all. And folks, she can smell it.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a smeller on her.
All right. So the next thing on the list would be hygiene products. Now, this is going to be everything from soap, shampoo, toothpaste, down to toilet paper, wet wipes, the types of things you would need for personal hygiene and personal cleanliness, the things that are essential for sanitation. Those things are also a hot commodity and are going to go quick. So you're going to want to store cases of toilet paper, cases of wet wipes, and enough soap and shampoo and toothpaste, and possibly even disposable toothbrushes as well, mm-hmm. if you have to grab something quick and run out of battery power for your electric toothbrush. The types of personal hygiene, cleanliness products. A lot of folks will stock trial size just for the smallness of it and have that in their go bags and so on. So think of hygiene products and get those prepared and stocked as well.
Now, when she's saying cases of toilet paper, she's talking about the 48-roll, the big one.
Like, well, we'll buy it at the warehouse club.
Yes. And what we do is we have two. One that we are working out of, and then when we run out of it, we have the full second 48-roll sitting there, and we go buy another.
Yeah, as soon as we hit the last one, that's our cue to go get more.
Right.
Because it'll take us a few weeks to get through that case.
Yeah, and we'll make that decision when we get down to the last 4 or 5 rolls, mm-hmm. something like next trip by there.
Sure.
So that keeps us with a ready supply of a 48-pack of toilet tissue.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, first aid kits. I've seen places where first aid kits would go quickly, because now people are out there working on their property. If it's a tornado, they may be running chainsaws, they're pulling limbs, and you get scratched up, you get skint up.
Mm-hmm. Cuts.
Cuts. Yeah. And so the first aid supplies can go quickly. So have a good first aid kit. And we had a good episode on first aid kit some time back. And I do not know the number right offhand, but I will go back and get that and put it into the episode notes.
Well, you know, thinking about medical supplies like a first aid kit, also think about your prescription meds and even your over-the-counter drugs, the aspirin, the stomach treatments, Alka-Seltzers, creams, ointments, antibiotic, that sort of thing. You're going to want to stock up if you can. Maybe have a discussion with your doctor or whoever prescribes your prescription meds and indicate to them that you would like to know if you could get like a 90-day supply. Some insurance companies will allow you to purchase 90-day supplies of certain drugs. So that might be a good way to stock up on your medical supplies for what you need and for what your loved ones are going to need as well.
But those over-the-counter medications really do come in handy. And I would venture to say not a week goes by that we don't use some type of over-the-counter medication.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Just us. Yeah. So Now I do that with omeprazole daily, but I'm not counting that. I'm talking the allergy stuff, which this is the allergy season right now.
It's hitting me hard.
Yeah. And all cars in Alabama seem to be yellow.
Yeah. They're
right
just
now.
Powdery yellow color.
Yeah. All right. Here's one, insect repellent.
Oh, and especially after a hurricane.
Yes.
The mosquitoes are horrible.
I had a disaster relief team in Lake Wells, Florida. I was sending a replacement team down, and I talked with the man who was over that operation at that time. And I said, John, what do you need? What can I send you? And he said, well, send me a case of 410 shells. Shotgun shells, or a case of the strongest off you can find.
Okay.
He said the mosquitoes down here are the size of crows.
Yeah, and they're just pulling the skin right off the back.
They were getting eaten up. So I sent him, I think, two cases of off deep woods.
And, with the DEET in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so insect repellent, if people are having to work on their property and such after a hurricane, the mosquitoes are coming. So, especially in Florida. I think that's y'all's state bird.
Yeah,
I know it is ours.
So. Yeah.
But y'all have some bigger than we do. But have that insect repellent and also some sunblock.
And you can often get that as a 2-in-1.
I didn't know that.
You can actually buy some sunblock that has insect repellent DEET in it. That's a good idea because, yeah, sun, especially after a storm event when it's been so cloudy and dark for so long, can be very, very clear. And that sun is brutal.
Well, here's one of the things is that for the past 6 months, we've not been spending a lot of time outside. And now we have to go out and we're spending 6, 8, 10, 12 hours working on our property, clearing trees, things like that after a tornado. And we're out in the sun so much more than we're accustomed to being. Now, some of you have got that farmer's tan and you can stay out there, doesn't burn you. Most of us go out there, we're going to get burned. Yeah. And I'm getting where I put on sunblock a lot more often when I'm going to be outside.
And
anyway,
it doesn't matter what color skin you have.
Right.
You can get burned from all that exposure. So definitely use some sunblock. And they're generally saying that pretty much it's got to be 30 and up. Anything that's 15 or below is kind of useless in the long run. I'm thinking 50 to the 80 power seems to be a better way to go.
Does it come in 300?
I don't know. I don't know if it comes in 300. But anyway, you have to remember to keep putting it on. And also remembering places like tip of the nose, tip of the ears.
Back of the ears.
The back of your neck. Yeah. Places where you don't often think, if the sun can hit it, you need to be putting sunblock there.
And don't think that it's not going to reflect back up, because it can. And it can burn like under your chin and such. Before my youngest daughter got married, the two families went to Disney. One of the few times I've been to Disney. Well, my legs had not seen sunlight in 5 years.
Oh, my word.
Just, they talking about white. They were white. And I knew I was going to be in Orlando. It's going to be hot. I knew I was going to be wearing shorts. And it was cargo shorts, and I carried an SPF 90, I think it was.
Okay.
And every hour I stopped, and the only word I can use is slathered.
Yeah.
I looked like a tourist, which I was. But I said, my legs are coming out just as white as they are now. They are not going to burn.
Exactly.
So that's a big key to it, is keep replacing it.
Yeah.
And I would put it on every hour down there, but every couple of hours would generally suffice. But don't think you can put it on once in the morning, go out and work an entire day and not get some sun.
It'll fail on you. So
you just need to replace that.
All right, let's talk about generators. There's all kinds of generators. When the generators are used for backup power, when the power, utility company power, is no longer operating, either temporarily or for whatever the problem is, especially after a big severe storm event, you may be out of power for a week or two or more. You never really can tell, depending on where you live. So having a generator to at least operate some electrical appliances and things in your house, and televisions, refrigerators, freezers, you know, the essentials, it's something you really want to think about. And a lot of our rural friends really are on top of this more so, because they often experience a power outage just because, you know, it doesn't even have to be a storm event. It can just be a grid lockup, or maybe a lightning strike randomly 20 miles away can take out some transformers, and suddenly they're without power for the day.
Yeah. And a lot of folks, especially in the group, the private Facebook group, have talked about how probably at least once a month their power goes down for, you know, 4 to 24 hours.
Sure.
Just a normal course of things.
Yeah.
So we need those generators for the backup. Now, here's one thing. I have gone into it was a Lowe's, and I went in and I was looking toward generators, and they said that they had been sold out a week before the storm. People knew that it was one of those weather alert, it's coming, folks. And so people bought generators ahead of time. Now, interestingly, I found out some of those folks took those home, put them in the garage, and after the storms, if they didn't need it, they took them back to the stores.
Or sold them, like, on Facebook or
something. Most of them just returned it to the store.
No kidding.
So, you know, they borrowed the generator from the store.
I see.
Which I don't think's a fair thing to do, but that's a whole different ballgame. But we need those generators for backup power.
And the fuel to run your generator.
Yes.
Some of them are single fuel, some are dual fuel.
Mm-hmm. When we're talking about power, we also want to be well stocked on batteries.
Yes, all different kinds.
Mm-hmm. We've got a battery buddy, and one of those is on the featured items on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to scroll down a good ways to get to it. But they're about $20. And ours holds around 200 batteries.
Now, yeah.
A lot of them are pin light, AA, AAA, but it holds
9 volts and
every size of battery.
C's and D's.
And so we actually carry that with us while we're traveling.
Mm-hmm. And we've used it.
We have. It comes in very, very handy. And on Christmas Day, when we go see the grandchildren, we take it because invariably somebody got a toy and there's not enough batteries.
Yeah.
So Papaw and Grammy come to the rescue.
Save the day.
Let's talk about solar chargers.
Well, solar chargers, you know, that's the type of thing you just want to have anyway as a backup power for your charging of your devices.
Yes. And she's talking about the battery banks there.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are cheap. There's no excuse not to have a couple of those.
Right.
I mean,
exactly. It takes a little longer for them to fully charge, but they're solar. I mean, that it's the sun.
Yes.
You know?
Now, it does take a considerable amount of time, but you can plug that into the wall and charge it up.
Sure.
And use it for a while, but you can recharge it by solar. You just have to be very, very patient.
Yeah, exactly.
But they also make these solar generators.
Mm-hmm.
They're not actually a generator. They're a solar
battery
pack.
They're basically a big solar battery pack.
Right. And you can recharge it with solar, or you can plug it into the wall. But it's enough to run like a refrigerator.
Okay.
Or a freezer.
Sure.
For a while. Mm-hmm. And absolutely essential equipment like the coffee pot.
Yeah. Or I was thinking CPAP, but we'll go with coffee pot.
Yeah, you know, she's all about that CPAP thing.
Let me tell you, we both sleep at night because you use it, okay?
Yeah, when I first started using it, we stayed in the camper for a hunting weekend. And my son-in-law said, if I'd known that thing would let me sleep so well, I would have bought you one years ago.
For sure. Well, now talking about backing up power, something else that gets scarce after a disaster are flashlights. Now, gracious sakes, you know, there's got to be 755,000 different styles of flashlight, mm-hmm. from the sublime to the ridiculous. But, you know, after a disaster or just prior to a big one, they'll go scarce because people know they're going to be without power.
Mm-hmm.
And a flashlight's just a handy thing to have around anyway. I mean, we use a flashlight. Right now, I have a closet whose light bulb, the whole socket has fallen out. I can't just replace the bulb. I've got to replace the whole socket and everything. So I have a dark closet, and I've got to take my flashlight to be able to see what's in there. So a flashlight, any description of flashlight, these go scarce after a disaster or just prior to one. So make sure that you've got a goodly supply. And know where they are. You know, we've often talked about having your lights out kit. We've been sitting out sometimes watching TV, and all of a sudden the whole house goes dark at 9 o'clock at night because a transformer has blown or something has happened. Not too long ago, there was an actual car crash where a car had slammed into a power pole, knocked it down, and it took the half the grid out, you know, for mm-hmm. the neighborhood. So we're sitting there in the darkness, and of course, we immediately have our cell phones on us. But we knew exactly where to go. We have a prepper pantry, and in our prepper pantry, we have all of our lights out kit. So we know exactly where to go to put our hands on our LED lanterns, our flashlights, the batteries we need for the flashlights. So think flashlights, people.
We also have a flashlight sitting on the table that's between our two chairs.
Exactly.
So it's reach over and get that and go do what we need to do. Now, talking about flashlights, that's great, but they don't do as well for longer-term lighting. But candles do a pretty good job of that. And
okay, you're talking about the regular flaming candle?
Flaming candles, they're an alternative lighting source. But you can also get electric candles, which we have some, and mm-hmm. Krista likes those much better than the fire candles.
Well, sure. I mean, they're safe and they're battery powered, mm-hmm. and you can just leave them all over the house, and they're not hot. And they won't
exactly
ignite anything.
But wax candles can go missing after disaster, especially
that's right.
the emergency candles.
That little box of white candles.
The fatter yeah. ones, you can use those. Now, you can use pillar candles, and a great place to pick those up is at the thrift store.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can pick them up. They're decorative. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is the flame is down inside there, but it does give you the light.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, talking about candles, think about this that goes scarce, and that would be fire starters. Every description, lighters, matches, ferro rods, fire sticks, anything that you could use to start a fire, sometimes those resources go thin. Just before or just after some sort of an SHTF event. So think about what are you going to be using to start a fire should you need to have an actual flame.
Yeah, and when you're talking about start a fire, you may not be talking about on the ground in the backyard. It might be the grill. How do you start yeah. a fire in the grill? Yes, some of them have electronic igniters, but a lot of them are like ours that has an electronic igniter that does not work.
I remember a time when in the wintertime, our house in North Carolina went without heat and our electronic ignition for the gas stove mm-hmm. was of no use.
Right.
So we turned the gas on and we very carefully and very, very, very slowly hand lit the burner there so that it would come on. And it you know, it gives you that poof, you know, and it's a little mm-hmm. scary at first, but we had to hand light that gas, but that heated that area of our house for a good 18 hours because we were without heat and power mm-hmm. at that time. Well, I'm talking 30 years ago before I was even thinking about prepping.
Oh, yeah. Now, I remember my grandmother when she got her first gas stove with an electronic lighter.
Yeah.
All prior to that, it was a match every time she lit her stove. And she thought that was the neatest thing. She
sure.
didn't have to use a match to light. Just turn this
yeah.
handle and it would light.
Yeah.
So, but those fire starter equipment is very, very necessary and it does disappear. So does trash bags and cleaning supplies after a disaster.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because people having to clean up the destroyed pieces of their lives, the what's left of their homes or offices or whatever they're having to clean up. And it's a big, horrible, nasty job. And so they're going to buy cases of bags and cleaning supplies, even the gloves, like cleaning gloves that you would mm-hmm. put on, plastic glove, latex gloves you'd put on your hands. Those types of things go scarce.
Those will go missing, as do the cleaning supplies, the disinfectants, the bleach. And these are things that we need to have on hand. And we talked about those emergency toilets a while back, mm-hmm. how to build an emergency toilet.
Yep.
You need some trash bags for that.
Right.
So keep some of those on hand. Baby supplies.
Mm.
Now, it's not a big deal for Krista and me now. We're into great-grandchildren now.
Right.
But our
the big formula shortage, though,
yes.
way back when? And that wasn't even because of a disaster.
No.
That was just a supply chain issue. I guess you could say that was a bit of a disaster. But I'm not talking about a storm.
Well, it was a disaster for a lot of folks with babies.
Yeah.
And I know people were driving over 100 miles to find the formula that their baby
exactly.
was on.
Exactly.
People were looking for it, and as were we for our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she had some, we knew that it was going to run out.
Yeah.
And so we were on the lookout for that
as
well.
We were on formula runs.
Yes. But diapers, formula, and wipes are
yeah.
three things that you really need to stock up on if you have those babies, and probably the grandchildren if they're with you regularly. Now, we're a ways away from our grandchildren, so if we get the grandchild, they bring the bag.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
not.
Something else that goes scarce is a large selection of hand tools. I mean, just think about it. Wrenches, screwdrivers, hammers, that sort of thing. Whole toolkits sometimes will just get gone out of the tool supply stores.
Chainsaws, chainsaw chains, chainsaw files.
Chainsaw oil.
Yes.
Just multi-tools, even those little multi-knife mm-hmm. and scissor tools.
Those can be so handy. I carry one every day. And it's a good thing to have some of these basic hand tools on hand for repair. We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Having some hammers, nails, wood strips, and plastic
yeah.
or tarps to be able to patch holes in the roof after a disaster.
It can sure buy you some time when you need it.
And that leads us to the next thing, storing some tarps and plastic sheeting.
Yes.
Now, when I saw a tornado go through our home county, and actually it was April the 27th of 2011, so
yeah.
that was 13 or 14 years ago this weekend, there wasn't a tarp within 50 miles.
I'm sure there wasn't.
I mean, people went and bought all the tarps they could get.
Well, it was a historic event.
It was. We had 12 killed in that county that day. And we had 252 killed in Alabama that day.
And it was an all-day event. I mean, not that it was a single tornado. It started in the early morning, and it just kept brewing up and brewing up, and it lasted till well into the night.
Yeah, we actually had two events. We had the morning event, and then we had the afternoon and evening event. And in the middle, the sun came out.
Oh, boy.
And people started coming out and saying, well, we've got to get this cleaned up. We're in recovery mode. And we kept saying, no, we're in hunker down mode at this point
yeah.
because there is more coming. And it hit different areas. It hit some of the same areas. But those tarps and plastic sheeting are things that we need to have on hand. I've got four in the garage, so I could tarp the roof, if not the entire roof. But I can
just
patch holes.
Necessary spots.
I can patch holes if I need to. Also, some duct tape.
Oh, yeah.
Now, duct tape is just one of those things that we need on hand all the time. It's so versatile. You can use it for repairs. You can use it for sealing. I've actually seen it used to make repairs on shoes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just so many things that you can do.
People have wrapped the sole of their shoe with some, or inside and outside with
mm-hmm.
the duct tape. And it can be pretty hard wearing. So, yeah, definitely. Something else to think about is some radios, some handheld radios for communication and information. This could include walkie-talkies or even a satellite phone of
mm-hmm.
some sort. And remember, we've told you over and over again, we'll tell you again, that a cell phone tower may be down, but you may still be able to get text messaging through if you are in or have been through an emergency situation, but you want to get word out to your loved ones who may be 500 miles away or more. Don't try to voice call them. You may not be able to get a voice call through, but a text message will continue to try to hit until it hits. Even if it takes an hour or two, maybe more, send a text on a cell phone and just be patient. Mm-hmm. But if you can have a handheld radio or even a radio system in your home, if you're a licensed ham operator, or if you're using GMRS or FRS, which we have spoken about many times, this may be your only method of communicating if all of the other towers are completely destroyed. It'll take a while to get those back up and mm-hmm. online again. So be patient and realize that that's just the way that it is. And if you can find a ham radio operator who's got something that's operational, you know, get close to that person and see if they can't send a message somewhere for you.
They can get a message out for you. Now, the handheld that we're talking about here are for very short distance. They're generally for inside the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to get more than a mile out of those. We did some extensive testing one time, and we could actually hear each other at about 3 miles. Couldn't really understand very well, but we recognize the voices were talking. So be aware that there's not really a handheld that's going to let you talk to your kids 50 miles away.
No, not like one of those blister pack walkie-talkies.
Not without you, even a ham radio, unless you go through a repeater
right.
in the VHF and UHF. But radios do tend to disappear after that. Car chargers and inverters. Now, you can use your car to charge your telephone.
Sure you can.
If you have that lighter plug adapter.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many folks carry them today as used to. We have one, we have a set of receptacles wired in to the battery in our Jeep, and we keep one plugged in that. The other one is for things like GPS, dash cam, anything that we want to use with that. But we have it wired because the ham radio is wired directly to the battery. So we just brought a couple of extra connectors off of that. So you can use that. If you need to, you can raise the hood on your car, connect an inverter to the battery,
yep.
and you can charge your cell phones.
An inverter, you can actually plug in,
yes.
Like a wall type plug into the pluggable inverter.
It becomes a 120-volt
sure.
plug.
It can be right handy if you need something like that.
So you can run all kinds of stuff off of that.
Okay, so the next area of items that go scarce, and this is serious. Now think about this. This is a life-changing thing here, and that is contraceptives. Yep, I said it. And you know what I'm talking about, gentlemen and ladies. We're talking about the things that men use and the things that the ladies use.
Yeah, and you just look at, you take, and it really happens after snowstorms. The birth rate spikes 9 months after a good snowstorm.
Oh, listen, we used to joke about the Hurricane Hugo babies that were mm-hmm. born in 1990 because Hurricane Hugo struck in September of 1989. And so by summer of 1990, spring and summer of 1990, there was some Hurricane Hugo babies.
Yeah.
And they said it was a major birth spike because, you know,
they didn't have the contraceptives.
You
may not be able to run to the store.
People had found something to do. So that's not a bad idea.
Get boring if you're stuck inside.
But, you know, we laugh, but I'm serious because, you know, a lot of people wind up expecting a child that maybe they normally wouldn't have been winding up expecting. And God bless the children that are born. God bless them.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's a blessing. It's a joy indeed. But if you're not ready to be a parent and you're going to behave like an adult this way, you better have some contraceptivation going on there. I'm just saying. So we don't have to dwell on that too long. But I'm telling you, you better get your stash all hooked up.
It does tend to go away. Yeah. All right, chainsaws and spare parts.
You had mentioned chainsaw. Just a chainsaw, just to find one sometimes mm-hmm. is very hard to do.
Yeah, after tornadoes, Lowe's, Home Depot, Ace Hardware, anybody else you can think of, They wind up sold out of chainsaws.
They sell out faster than they can restock.
Oh.
You know, and we're talking about like region wide.
They'll sell out the next day.
I mean, we're having tornado activity in 10 states at one time. So you can imagine what that's going to do to every hardware store within 100 miles of this entire storm track. I mean, forget about it. These people, if they haven't already prepped, they're in bad shape. They're going to have to depend on the kindness of their neighbors.
And if you're stocking up for that chainsaw, stock some spare parts.
Yeah, extra chain.
I keep extra chains. I keep extra spark plugs, things like that, that you can easily change out. But you can break chains. In fact, my chainsaw is sitting on the table out there right now. I got to put the chain back on it.
It can happen.
And it will happen. Mm-hmm. So those chainsaws, spare parts, two-cycle oil for most saws, and bar oil for your saws.
Exactly.
Keep a supply of that. Sturdy containers. When we're talking about sturdy containers, a lot of times if you have a hurricane or you have a tornado damage your house, a lot of times you have to take what's in your house out.
Yeah.
And you need sturdy containers to put that in. So
exactly.
Those do tend to disappear right after a hurricane or a tornado. Air mattress.
I hadn't really thought about the air mattress thing.
Mm-hmm.
When people have lost all of their furniture and their sofas and their beds are gone, it makes sense that they'd, you know, go get an air mattress for the temporary situation, if at all possible.
Or you have to move out of your house and you can stay with someone, but they don't actually have a bed, but they'll give you the floor.
Yeah.
Air mattress makes for a lot of comfort.
So this goes scarce, because
they can go scarce after a disaster. Blankets and sleeping bags.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times in disasters, you lose that power and you lose the ability to heat. Part of it depends on the time of year.
Sure.
But we've experienced tornadoes in every month of the year.
Yeah.
Now, yes, there are higher numbers in April and May as there are in the fall. But they can happen any time of year.
Yeah, they can be the freezing days of December. There can be a warm spell and then a cool front. Before you know it, you got a tornado in the middle of the New Year's
and
Day.
And having those blankets and sleeping bags for that warmth and for that shelter is a good idea to have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Today's cup of coffee comes from someone.
Yes, this is an unnamed person that we're just going to call someone. So to that someone who was so gracious to buy us a cup of coffee, we want you to know how much we really appreciate it. And we have enjoyed our coffee today.
And I'm still enjoying a cup right now.
And if you have received value from the podcast, how about helping us out by giving back a little? First, you can go to our website to the Buy Me a Coffee link, and you can buy us a cup of coffee, or you can even subscribe to buy us a chain of coffees for the whole year. And some of our nice friends have done that. We appreciate that so much. You don't know how much that means to us, because that helps us keep on keeping on here at Practical Prepping Podcast. There's another way you can help out, and that is if you'll go to our website and scroll down till you'll see the Amazon shopping banner. You can start your Amazon shopping on that banner from our website. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but we do get paid a small commission when you make some qualifying purchases, and that also helps a great deal. You'll find both of those links on practicalprepping.info, and we thank you. And so appreciate you taking care of us that way.
And we really, really do appreciate that. And as Krista always says,
stuff happens, people. You've got to stay prepared.
And we'll see you next time.